Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 81 of season 3 of The Dozen, Jesus Christ. We just did it like 10 minutes. We just did a dozen 10 minutes. We have to record two more today. Of LCB, 81 of season, not a season, whatever, you get the fucking point. Anyway, movie time.
We're on LCB. We're there.
And it's a lot of movies today. One movie, but a lot of movie stuff. We have an interview with wild interview with Alden Ehrenreich, also known as Young Han Solo. We didn't really talk about the movie, though. Sorry to disappoint.
Well, we talked about Cocaine Bear, which is awesome.
What is there to talk about?
Yeah. How many more times did he ask, do you want to play Han? Do you want to play this billion-dollar role again?
Yeah.
Do you want to make a lot of money? He was
very
alongside
funny interview,
O'Shea
though.
Jackson
That's one of my
Jr.
favorite. We've
Cocaine Bear, which is one of Ken Jack's favorite movies of the year. He got to see it. So it's mm-hmm. fucking awesome. Everyone's saying it's fantastic. We'll also be reviewing Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, which is just the longest title of all time. Hashtag should be able to go on two lines, by the way. How have we not figured that out in the year 2020? I mean, I feel like there's many other issues Twitter has. I feel like that's not like their main issue. We have that, and then we'll talk a little Last of Us, some other stuff as well. This episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool brought to you by the Barstool Store. That is right. Store.barstoolsports.com. St. Patrick's Day coming up, about a month away now? And you want to wear green all March anyway. Coming up, great way to shop and find some stuff you need for St. Patrick's Day bar crawls, parties, whatever it may be. Store.barstoolsports.com. Link in the description. Also, the Dozen Trivia card game. If you're a fan of LCB and you like the Dozen Trivia competition, our card game is going to be back in stock very soon. It sells out quick, so just keep that in mind. I almost just said it wrong. Store.barstoolsports.com. All right. Some news before we get into our reviews and an interview. True Detective teaser came out. What is the realistic True Detective excitement level that we can have right now?
So I think that it has changed a lot. After season 2, it was in the toilet. Season 3 was really solid. And now I think like Jodie Foster, can you think of like a more iconic female detective character?
That is true.
And Clarice herself? Like I feel like it should be high. It should be high. I'm just still very tentative because our heart has been broken by True Detective before.
Has there ever been in the era of social media, has there been a show hurt more by memes than True Detective season 2? Like it was raised to such impossible levels of hype because of memes. The Sesame Street account tweeting out Bert and Ernie holding guns saying True Detective. It was anything that had a pulse in pop culture or like food or – like that's when like Wendy's would tell you to go, like go fuck yourself or something on Twitter. Like it's that era.
Yeah.
Like it was so hyped up, and it just didn't live up to the hype. And it had a great cast.
They had Vince Vaughn like reading off a thesaurus, like I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with that. That evil villain role from him, where he's like the extravagance of the exploited. All this, he's saying like all these like giant dictionary words. Like, you're Vince Vaughn. Like, we know that's not how you speak. Like, it's, I don't know. That was a bummer. Kitch was okay in that, though. And so was Colin Farrell. I think the scene where he like beats up the kid's dad on the front lawn is very funny.
Was season three, was that Mahershala Ali?
Yes, and Stephen Dorff.
Okay. Which, I mean, he's a big can't miss guy. He just doesn't. Yeah. He's just not. He's going to bring in everything Blade. He's in.
Blade is so I far like, a miss. That's not him.
I like that they took a big break.
That definitely
season.
Helps.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest problem with season two, was like the turnaround on that was like a year. Like,
yeah,
they and I think the first season, it took them, because it was based on a book by Nick Pizzolatto or Pazzolato, however you say his
name. Definitely not Pizzolatto. Pizzolatto.
It's some fucking jabroni name, some Italian.
You really wanted to say like Guinea or something, didn't you there? You really wanted to throw in an Italian curse, and I'll give you the G pass if you want it as an Italian.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
You're Protestant ass.
But yeah, he wrote that book in like 5 years, and then they like asked him to make another season in like 8 months. It clearly didn't work. So hopefully more time will help
which
the situation.
That is something.
But yeah,
that
no, there's no
you
hype.
Don't like HBO doesn't seem to make mistakes like that usually. I mean, obviously we know Game of Thrones ended up being a fucking disaster, but like HBO is usually pretty good about like we're gonna have like four seasons of Succession over like what feels like 10 years. Like it's kind of, though. Granted, COVID definitely hurt that, but like HBO is very much unapologetic about giving time for property. So I'm glad like they are still. You're right. Maybe this is making me a little more excited than I think I realize.
Jesus, the Succession started in 2018. You're right.
It is crazy.
Yeah, long breaks.
And it's crazy how long. It's crazy how long. By the way, we're almost back just talking about Mandalorian. Could not be more excited. Think about last time we had an episode of The Mandalorian, not counting the fake Boba Fett one.
Yeah.
I haven't been hired.
That's crazy.
Yeah, one of my favorite episodes of TV ever. That's one of my favorite episodes of TV ever. I mean, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'm very curious what they do the first episode of Mandalorian to catch you up. If you haven't seen Book of Boba Fett, it's a pivotal. Yeah. It's a massively pivotal.
It's a huge plot point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that was like everyone's season, in on it.
That was like a season ending episode that they just put in the middle of Book of Boba Fett. It's so fucking wild.
Still not crazy about that.
Yeah. I wish it would have just been part of it.
That was a wild move, but I don't care.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I get it. If the general idea moving forward is to have like Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, like all these shows like intertwine with each other. You know what I mean? Where it's like they're all progressing almost together in a way. Like that would be cool, but I don't know. It's just that felt strange for that being like the first introduction to it.
It's, I mean, people have said it, the best episode of Book of Boba Fett was an episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which exactly. is true. I could see them going away from that. I know we were kind of scraping for news right before this, but one thing we should talk about is like the Iger comments. Iger saying they're gonna pull back. They're gonna pull back on projects, they're delaying stuff. Not everything on Disney Plus that's been announced is going to get made. Like, I think Iger coming back is going to make a big difference.
Well, I know you were in real shambles last week. You almost said you weren't going to come on back on the podcast after they canceled the John Stamos basketball show.
I forgot that even existed. The fact that it had a season two.
Okay, let's see if you get this. I'm thinking of a
hot shot.
I'm thinking of a Disney Plus show that culturally, pop culture wise. The property has a massive impact on like American like pop culture, but to me is such a nothing burger and doesn't exist in my head until I'm reminded of it.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Mighty Ducks.
They brought him back. Gordon Bombay is in that series.
Emilio Estevez hasn't been in a movie in like 20 years, and they brought him back to be in that.
It is nothing. And I know we're not the intended audience for that, but even then.
Yeah.
But even then, High School Musical, the musical, that series did have like that was a very spawned a superstar in Olivia Rodrigo. Like it's like that show had an impact. So I can't even say the audience thing because that's like Disney.
I like that show. That's a good show.
Disney's the kings at that. Like they have Pixar. Like Disney is the king at making a thing that's not for intended audience be a pop culture moment for a not intended audience. Like it can do that. So it's not really an excuse for Mighty Ducks. It's just not. I don't know.
Well, from what I saw from the High School Musical show, it seemed like it was doing a good job. There was a self-awareness to it in regards to like, you guys grew up with this and like everybody knows it was kind of silly. Where like, I could be wrong. unless you're just a crazy person, the Mighty Ducks movies aren't like objectively good movies.
I haven't gotten any takes off about those movies, but it's enough to really bother people.
But based on what I saw from the series, it looked like they were going into it as if they were, as if it was something important. And it's like, it's not. Like, if you want to do a wink and a nudge, go ahead. Like, by all accounts, it seemed like the High School Musical series did. It seemed like they kept it really straight-laced, and nobody watched it.
One of all the Marvel news that got dumped, I think the one thing I thought about the most was, you know, the guy that saw Captain Marvel 140 times? How pissed he must be that they delayed the Marvel 6 months? He's sitting there weeping in front of his like his fucking Brie Larson doll made out of her hair that he collected out of the garbage.
He's like Nick Swartzen and Blades of Glory. I sent you a
The way we like glorify certain sports movies really cracks me up.
Yeah.
Because like
good
like
point.
I have
Draft Day, terrible movie. Everyone agrees, right? Shit awful movie, right, Jeff?
Which movie?
Which one?
Draft Day.
I mean, I just no. Draft Day is so it's so stupid. I'm like trying to pull up the list.
Dude, Brandon likes that movie.
I know, crazy.
Sandlot. I like the Sandlot. The Sandlot is viewed as like this. It's just it's fine.
That's different when it's like a movie that's like part of Americana, where like Sandlot's that, like that's like the iconic Americana movie for sports anyway, and like. I think certain other ones kind of fall into that category too, like not Hoosiers or like maybe
Space
Rudy. Jam. Like Rudy's
Space
on the cusp
Jam's
of that.
One of those. Space Jam's a prime,
yeah,
the
for
sixth
sure.
Man.
Yeah. Sixth Man, definitely like, not. That's the Ghost one, right?
Yeah.
Definitely not the Sixth Man, but
it was like a few weeks ago when like the White Men Can't Jump reboot trailer came out. People acted like White Men Can't Jump is this all time classic, and it's just
Star Wars. Yeah,
just not.
Sandlot is Baseball A Christmas Story. Changed my mind.
It's not a bad take. That's true.
That's not a bad take. And I know I said this a lot. I was just about to say, I think we do it with sports movies and Christmas.
Yeah,
movies
we do.
Are the two genres for whatever reason. Like I see Christmas with the Cranks on like best Christmas movies. I'm like, that's like known to be one of the worst movies ever. Like, what are you talking about?
Movie sucks.
I think people just like sports. So they just like sports movies sometimes, but that there are like something like Moneyball or Friday Night Lights or Miracles, like so far ahead of most sports.
Oh yeah. Leaps and bounds.
Why the face?
Jeff hates Miracle. He's anti-American.
The glorification of some sports movies where it's like, really?
Yeah.
Rudy, Hoosiers. Hoosiers is good, but like it's not. People act like it's the end all be all of sports movies. I'm like, I don't think so. Gene Hackman.
What sports movie from like the last 20 years are kids going to grow up in like 15 years from now, like fucking defend to their grave?
I mean, one that wasn't
Space
that
Jam is kind of like, what it is, right?
Space Jam 2?
Space Jam 2.
Oh, you mean kids these? I don't know.
Yeah, that 15 years from now are going to defend.
The Ben Affleck movie.
Brandon also has a take.
That's a good movie.
That The Waterboy is a bad movie.
Which, that's
actually
objectively
you know,
not
you know
true.
What the movie is? The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler.
That's a good movie.
Just,
I like
probably
it.
Not the best movie, but I do like it, and I
it
will
is,
defend
for,
it.
For what it is, just, for basically a reboot sequel, it kind of was a soft reboot, but not really, because like the character.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird. That was still, I don't know, I still have fun with that.
I forgot about that.
It's stupid, but it's got some. It's
funny movie.
Some really tender moments as they just kill characters.
Yeah,
I'm looking through
I mean, the
sports
premise,
movie
again. There's a self awareness. Like the premise of that movie is ridiculous. Like, but prisoners are going to play a football game against, against the guards. But that movie made it work. It was pretty funny.
You know, movie I really like
really funny in that.
Yeah,
I really like Goon. Goon is a funny movie. That's a great hockey movie.
Goon was good.
I always love that movie.
It was Sean William Scott. Fuck-faced Jay Baruchel. Wish he wasn't in it,
dude. I remember when I used to shit talk Jay Baruchel. Trill Bollins and Jeff used to be like, "No, he's fine."
I don't know. That was
just
Trill.
Right.
No. I'm not a Jay Baruchel. I have no opinion on him.
I do not still to this day understand what he was doing in all of those movies in like the mid 2000s, where he was just in every one of like the elite tier comedian
Can you do his
movies.
Voice?
You know what I mean? I think he's just their friend. It's Jay Baruchel. I'm the guy that really likes the dragons, right? I don't get it. Never
he's
understood.
He's the Apatow Cruise Rob Schneider.
Essentially, yes, but like maybe even less.
Is he
going to
be in the live
Cruise,
action
I would say
How to Train Your Dragon that they just announced?
Fuck.
They announced
I not.
Yeah, they're doing
he's
live action
young.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Actually, wait, I did see that because Jack Black got casted. I don't know.
Was Jay Baruchel like friends with like Seth Rogen or something in Canada?
How did he get Train a Dragon to act?
There was Freaks and Geeks, which was like the famous Apatow produced show, but then Baruchel was in another, I think, Apatow produced thing that was less popular where he was in college called like Undeclared or something like that. And I think that's how they all got to know each other and meet each other.
Yeah,
and
Undeclared.
Baruchel was in Tropic Thunder. Like, I mean, he did some stuff on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was funny in Tropic Thunder.
He was totally fine, but that's when he was a side character,
at
least five speaking lines. Like, that was perfect.
Before, what was the one? She's Out of My League. That was his big, star turning role.
Nick and Nora, Night at the Museum, like How to Train Your Dragon.
I hated Nick and Nora.
And then Goon. There's so many. This is the end. This is the end. Like, I feel like that movie could have taken on new heights if Jay Baruchel wasn't a main character in that.
You see, this is the end. Is I don't know if I've said this on this podcast before. This is the end. Is the movie I've laughed the hardest at in the theater ever.
This is the end.
It was so funny.
I have very high marks on This is the End. I think it's an insanely funny movie.
It's insanely underrated because I think
Danny McBride having Channing Tatum on the fucking gimp suit like on the collar. This is so funny.
Dude, no, Michael coked out Michael Cera slapping Rihanna's ass and saying, "What's up, baby?"
I want to say it opened with like Man of Steel or something, and it was kind of a hard premise to sell, but it's fucking fun. Jonah Hill's funny as shit.
One of the dumbest, funniest parts of that movie was the fact that they used the gun from that James Franco had from Flyboys, like just a reference to like a shit movie that no one watched. Like, I love that. That was so funny. I got this on Flyboys, man. Oh, that was really good.
What else? Okay, one more big new news, and I want to bring up one meme thing that's kind of happening. I don't know if you noticed it. BAFTAs, BAFTA winners, which if you don't know what that is, the British Academy of Film Awards, not an indicator for Best Picture anymore. It never really was, but it is now become a historically inaccurate way to determine Best Picture. It's right below, like, I think over time, it's now like around 25% in terms of like its weight towards what can win the Oscar. This is via awards.substack.com. Walt Hickey, our friend who does all the breakdowns of what's likely going to win all the awards. All Quiet on the Western Front won. I don't think that's going to win Best Picture of the Oscars. It's a solid indicator for acting categories. Cate Blanchett won for Tar, and Austin Butler won for Elvis. Barry Keoghan won for Banshees of Inisherin, and then Kerry Condon won for Banshees as well. It's not as accurate for supporting. But it is significantly more accurate, both those than picture. Director's kind of right in the middle, and directing went to I don't know what directing went for.
I think it was the guy that did
All Quiet. Yeah, you're right. So we'll see how that ends up playing out. Also, obviously, won Best Film not in the English language, which makes sense.
They gave Austin Davis Best Actor, right?
Austin Davis was a backup center for Michigan.
Yeah. I was about to say, I was like, that's a baseball player for sure. But he gave Austin Butler Best Picture. The fucking British people just heard that he's white, immediately gave him an award. That's all they needed to hear.
I think Austin Davis is one of the
– You're right, Rams.
He's on the Browns. Right? He's on the Browns, like, list of starting QBs, yeah.
Was he the Rams?
Yeah, he was in the Rams, yeah.
No.
Okay. I'm happy Barry Keoghan got the win. That's how they said it, by the way. They said Keoghan.
Well, that's because they're British.
I did not know his like whole backstory until a few weeks ago. Like,
the foster homes.
He went through 11 foster homes. That's insane. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
He just had no connects, like, which is always good to see. Taking down the Nepo babies.
Yeah.
Nepo baby at a time.
You just said you didn't want to be a Nepo guy. Poor Barry Keoghan. Great name, by the way, Barry. I just think that name is just to come back. Great name.
Yeah. Have you noticed and I don't think anyone's played the game yet. There is a meme, not meme resurgence. There's a meme, I guess, best way to put it is meme uprising of Slytherin.
Revival?
A lot of TikToks and reels starting to come around about Slytherin with the release of Hogwarts Legacy, and Slytherin is just now the coolest thing in the world in terms of Harry Potter. Like, it's Slytherin house is I'm seeing now. And people kind of like Slytherin to begin with, I feel like, because it was, you know, the forbidden bad boys, bad girls, but now Like, it's just the memes, like the parties they threw at Hogwarts. It's just, it's very funny to me. I haven't played the game yet, and I do want to play it.
No.
Have you? Has anyone else played it?
The Hufflepuff kids. The Hufflepuff kids are the ones you got to watch out for, because like they're like the nerdy kids that actually go out on the weekend and do a fuck ton of drugs. Because they're all they're all good at potions. That's what, they're all like, making their potions.
That was one of the memes.
And, they're cooking up meth.
That was one of the memes. There was a Hufflepuff student like concocting drugs for the Slytherin kids at their party. Yeah, like I haven't played the game. The game apparently is very cool, though. People love it.
Yeah, and I'm going to buy a PS5.
But everyone is like immediately picking Slytherin, and they're just trying to do Avada Kedavra. That's like the main thing that they try to do.
I saw someone absolutely just fucking kill Ginny Weasley.
That rocks. I thought the game takes place in like the 1800s or some shit.
It's like centuries before. It's like decades before.
Yeah, so it's when the wizards used to shit their pants before they would before they had indoor plumbing. They should shit their pants and then use magic to get rid of it.
It's true. People seem to like it though, which is cool, because I just don't have anything to play on right now. My laptop, I'm traveling, but I do want to play, because it looks awesome. Which I'm hoping the Dune game is like, the Dune game is probably the next game I'll play. I don't know when that's coming out, but I'm very excited for the Dune game. Even though I don't know how much. I mean, just walking around sand.
Spider-Man 2 comes out this year.
Dune game?
Yeah, Dune open world game. Yeah.
Well, if you don't fall asleep, do you win?
you're in trouble, November.
Oh yeah, Chris. Drop it.
That's my most anticipated review for the next.
Excited. I'm excited for you to go through. I'm excited for Fast and Furious.
Yes, yeah, more than anything.
You'll have to update us like each one, because watching somebody watch those. It is the highs and lows, because it truly is. It starts out fun. You'll enjoy like
no consistency.
Yeah, like I truly think you'll enjoy the first one. Like, for what it is, it's just a fun movie. You're like, you're not gonna be like, it's amazing, and then it tanks, but then it just randomly becomes good.
Okay,
it's good.
Fast and Furious is a solid movie. Let's not shit too much on Too Fast.
It's pretty fucking bad. As someone who just watched the first five, that was I mean,
who's the bad guy? Yeah, that's a great scene. That's an iconic Fast and Furious Ejecto-Cito is a great scene. You can't talk shit on that. Eva Mendez, I believe, in the second one, right?
You're calling it a scene. And
Cole Hauser.
So this is the line.
Cole Hauser.
One funny line.
Cole Hauser is the bad guy in the second one. He's like the Miami drug lord.
There's no Vin.
Dude, great movie.
There's no Dom.
I'd say
there's no Dom.
Yeah, that's what makes it so good. It's like its own little indie picture version. It's its own little side project.
It's one of those things where you watch the first one and you go, they built a franchise off this fucking movie. Yeah.
It is, I will say, and they're doing it with the new one, with Jason Momoa's character. That movie is, I actually have to give them a lot of credit. They're so good at retroactively, not even retconning, just retroactively making things happen in previous movies. Like, they did it Shaw with Jason Statham's character, Chris, you're gonna watch back and be like, wow, how did I miss that? You didn't. They are very good at retroactively making changes that fit perfectly, and I think it's great. Like, I respect it.
Once you get to five, that's where they kind of figured it out. They figured out we got to go balls out with it. They got caught in the middle there for a little bit between like Too Fast, Too Furious and Fast and Furious 2009, where it was like they weren't ready to fully commit to just being like a fucking trash franchise, like just doing like the most over the top shit. And then finally in five, they're like, fuck it, we're doing it.
If I remember correctly,
Luda is like a computer hacker and like. Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, both of you guys are Tokyo Drift defenders, despite it being the worst movie in the franchise by far.
I actually did not rewatch it, but I do remember liking it.
It's terrible. It's you talking about no Dom. It's fucking, what's his name? Like Lucas Black. Black. Yeah, it's Lucas Black as like a Southern guy in Tokyo drifting car. Like, dumb.
Is it Lil Bow Wow in that one too?
I don't know.
It's all the waifus.
They don't even have them. It's such a fucking bad movie. It's just him. I just remember him doing a really bad drawl throughout the entire movie. It's a bad movie.
You can go to jail in the U.S. or you can go race cars.
Yeah. You'll race cars in Tokyo.
That's it for for, I think, news. I don't think we have anything else. You guys-
well, there's one thing you left out, Jeff, that's podcast related. There's a budding rivalry on this podcast, apparently, between Gooch and our friend.
You don't want Kirk on the show.
No, I don't.
He asked me. He's like, he didn't seem so happy.
I don't like
him. Kirk is coming on, I think it has to be next week because it'll be before – no. One of the next 2 weeks. We're going to do
– Cocaine Bears next week.
But I'm trying – it's going to be whatever it is before the Oscars. That seems like a Kirk movie.
What does Kirk want to do? Like, what movie does he want to do?
It doesn't really matter. We're gonna do a ranking of movies that had Oscar hype that sucked. It's the downsizing list.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Or anything with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep.
I was gonna say Welcome to Marwin.
Marwin's a good one. You know what's another one? August Osage County.
Oh yes. Wow.
Again, anything that's with Meryl Streep.
I haven't heard that name
since. Was that Jane Fonda?
No, Meryl Streep was in that.
What was Jane Fonda in? A lot of movies.
She's in plenty of ones.
J. Edgar with Leonardo DiCaprio.
a movie that wasn't bad, but like just came and went like a silent fart was The Last Duel from a couple of years ago. Made no money at the box office, no awards, but like I know, but like people hyped that movie up and then no one fucking saw it.
Same with House of Gucci. Ridley Scott had a rough year last.
This is where I leave you, but that wasn't an Oscar. I don't think that Oscar hype.
80 for Brady, maybe
what
you're thinking
the
of?
Will Smith one. God, I can't believe I can't remember this now. There were multiple
Gemini Will Smith Man.
Ones, but
Gemini Man had Oscar hype.
7 pounds. Think about 7 pounds.
That, but no, she's the one he pounds? Did in like 2014, 2015.
Not Pursuit of Happiness.
It had some cornball.
This one people will not remember. Billy Lynn's long halftime walk. Speaking of Ang Lee,
I remember.
He shot it in 120 frames per second, and then he did that with Gemini Man. Gemini Man.
Yo, there's a new book club movie coming out. Trolls Fate, most anticipated movie from like 2017 or whatever. Hell yeah, book club, the next chapter. What a classy title for those old gals.
Played a trailer before 80 for Brady, which is perfect.
It is. It really. That's like. That is the demo.
I did not catch that trailer, mostly because of
Collateral Beauty.
Oh, yeah. Collateral Beauty, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Talked to a bunch of dead people the whole time.
I thought you were trying to think of... I thought you were talking about the one where he was a con man with Margot Robbie.
Focus. Well, that wasn't Oscar.
Focus, yeah.
Dude, that the first half of that movie was actually good, and then it just like became the most boring thing I've ever watched.
Yep.
Who's got their echo? Who's echo?
Me? I don't know. I have echo cancellation. Maybe your point was so good it just popped out twice.
Wow.
Let's talk about The Last of Us. I think people like The Last of Us episode 6, right? I'm losing track.
Yes.
Episode 6. Thoughts on The Last of Us. I'll start out with the video game, boys. You played the game. I thoroughly enjoyed it again. I just love the show. There's really not much more to say on that. But in terms of comping it to the video game.
This is cool because, like, I feel like in the game when you meet Tommy and Tommy's people, like, you don't really get to see a ton of Jackson. Like, you see more of it in the second game, in, like, the beginning of the second game. I think they did an awesome job because, like, I think they actually used this in the real city and just, like, built shit around it. The practical value or, like, just the production value, that looked great. A lot of the scenery, just absolutely gorgeous out there. I think... this was probably my least favorite episode.
Don't tell Twitter that.
But I know Chris, you said the same thing.
I think it's partially because I didn't love the Joel Tommy moment. Like when they reunited, awesome. Yeah. Like that's a really cool scene. But the scene that they had were like sort of it's just sort of Joel exposition dumping on Tommy. I don't think Pedro Pascal like they got a good take of that. He did like this weird sort of like fake cry thing that I don't know. I just didn't dig that scene very much. I did like everything else basically in the entire episode. The fact that they did like University of Eastern Colorado and it looks exactly the same as it looks in the game. Crazy. I know, and knowing where they're going next, as far as like where the game is at, very excited for that. I think we have 2 episodes left. The last one is going to be, I fucking can't wait. I can't wait for anything else in the last one, but I also am kind of interested to see this, Fedra training school shit that they've teased for this next episode. But yeah, other than that, just a solid episode. Nothing great though.
Yeah, I would. Is it my least favorite so far? I don't know. I mean, I think that's it's
It's relative. It's relative. Still a good episode.
I mean, it's just relative. A couple people say, like, I know KSU Sweetie hated it. He thought it stunk. I think it's very enjoyable. I think Chris, Chris, I think the three of us probably agree on that. Where do you stand with that, Robbie?
I've got this at like number two or three. I really liked it, but it hit a lot of things that I'm just like, I love and I'm a sucker for. Like, I think media that uses snowy Western, I think that bats like 1,000. Like, it just always looks so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you get a little snowy mountaintop with the horse trotting through. It just looks fucking great every time. And then, like, the dad-daughter relationship that, like, fully budded in this episode. I really love that. Like, finally came to fruition. Finally got it. Joel and Ellie, I feel like, got way more fleshed out, especially in their relationship with each other. I do agree with Ken Jack. I think that Tommy scene was a little too glossed over. It felt like something we'd been building towards for six episodes and then just kind of happened. And, you know, I wish there was more weight to it. It felt like it was just undercooked a little bit. But outside of that, yeah, I really loved it. I love the ending. Heartbreaking, of course. Of course, this show just continually... you prepare yourself for it and then it just doesn't.
I mean, I don't think you need to play the game. I'm sure Chris agreed to know that it's like, you just like, this is like, they're, you know, Hulk's not gonna snap back the universe. Like, it's just gonna keep getting more depressing and dour.
Yeah. Which is also another thing, like, you can kind of see the wheels starting, where like beginning you're kind of thinking, oh, maybe they will save the world with her, you know, her blood or whatever. And she started to ask questions like, how will this even work? Like, they take my blood, they make a vaccine, get it to every, like, how is that even going to work? So now it's becoming, are they actually going to save the world, or are they just going to end up finding somewhere where they can be happy with each other as a family? Yeah. So I like the direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I say that I think that this is the weakest of the series so far, my least favorite so far, I got to establish, and this won't work for people listening on the podcast, but this show is here and every other show that
I've watched. I mean, I think like, that's like the big thing you have to, like,
relative.
I feel like that just needs to be assumed. Like, the show is so good. It's like, it's just going to have an episode that may not great.
Something's gotta be the
bad isn't bad. Yeah. Like, it's still really good. I mean, maybe someone thinks it's bad. I don't know. That could be the case.
When we reviewed Succession, this was the same thing I ran into, where, like, I was like, that last season, I was just like, I don't like this one as much as the previous two. People are like, how could you say Succession sucks? And I'm like, I'm not saying it sucks. I'm saying it's relatively not as good as the first two seasons.
We're close to that show,
and
too.
And it's a difficult thing to comprehend. We are.
I did a full rewatch on that.
But yeah, sorry.
I think I like three the best. That's crazy. That's, I know. I just, going back through it, margin. Rewatching it, it is just – it's such a wild stroke that whole season. Though, I got to say, though, I don't think you can really set – like, if you gunned to my head and told me to pick one, I think I might pick three. But I think they're all three very – for their own ways, equal on equal footing. I have no idea where the next one's going to go. Like, I think it's going to be nuts. So to have Tom on Logan's side is, like, such a fucking funny concept. And I guess Greg. Mm-hmm.
Can't forget Greg. Come on.
Also, is that not the funniest thing from that show? Is like the simp fans who want Greg and Tom to like get married.
Yeah. I kind of wish they would. They're now, cute.
I love those fan cams. Like those fan cams that ship them together and like make it like seem like they're trying to fuck each other.
That show has a significantly more wild fandom than you could ever expect. Do a Tom and Greg Twitter search and you're going to be like, You will think it's just like One Direction fans grown up. Like, they've moved on from like
– Yeah.
They moved on from like Louis and Harry, and now they're just like, it's Tom and Greg. Like, it's just – it's the same energy. It's crazy. Right. And I don't know. I'm saying that because like I saw that firsthand, because when I was at One Direction, when I was at GMA, like, I'd see like, what the fuck are these comments? It's the same energy. But it's for this media conglomerate Succession show on HBO. It's just such a different – it's crazy.
Great. I think Chris does raise that great point, though, that it is all relative to just where everything else is at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, you could say this is the weakest one without it being like, hey, this is like on the level of Ginny and Georgia or whatever bullshit ass Netflix show.
Right. No, look, I thought the episode was excellent. Just the one complaint, the one thing I've noticed in this one that did bother me a bit is I think this show up to this point has been paced flawlessly. Like these hour-long episodes just fly by. This was the first one where I felt the length a little bit. Now, I acknowledge, much like episode 4 was, it's a lot of setup for what's going to come. And I am extremely confident that the last two episodes are going to deliver. And the way this one ends, I mean, it was so tense. And ultimately, look, it's playing with house money because you've gotten right the things you need to get right, and that's the characters. Even at its worst, and worst is, you know, a relative thing, there's not a lot of bad moments, you are totally invested in what's going on because you are on this journey with these two people. You really care about these main characters. So, I mean, no complaints. It is, by default, probably the weakest one I've watched, but I still really, really enjoyed it.
A bunch of shows being added to the docket. Not just Last of Us, Mandalorian, Succession. Very excited about that. Fired up. Oh, Mandalorian being middle of the week is so exciting.
I know.
It's because those shows have been so much better dropped middle of the week, but we just haven't had that with Mando.
I wish it dropped at night, though. That's the only complaint. Like, it's very fun being on Twitter.
It's still so, – yeah, I understood Thursday before. Like, Thursday's a tough night to drop, but drop it on a Wednesday night. Why not? God, I just feel
we need to pick out
a
costume soon.
Did the first two seasons – did the first two seasons drop – was it Thursday?
Friday morning, 3 a.m.
Friday morning.
Yeah.
Friday midnight Pacific time. So.
We need to pick out our costumes, by the way, Jeff. That's going to be a fun journey for us.
I don't want to say what we're going to go as. We are doing our Disney trip. Me, Ken Jack, Robbie Fox, Clem, Dave's assistant, Austin, and going with Dave to Disney World on March 8th. And we are dressing up as different characters from Star Wars. Maybe not a character.
In 99 degree weather, by the way.
Ken Jack's first Disney experience is going to be the full fucking VIP tour, which means we get shuttled backstage to backstage in a van and get to skip the lines. A real authentic Disney experience that I'm sure you'll take your kids one day and be like, man, I thought this was so much easier last time I was here. You're like, God, this was so much easier.
What the fuck?
I got to.
That's one thing the only thing I'm afraid of really is just the heat and having to wear a costume, because like having to walk through Orlando muggy heat, I'm going to have the swampiest ass that's ever existed in mankind. It's going to be like a fucking waterfall coming out of my gooch. No offense, gooch. Like straight out of there, just nothing but pure moisture.
For context, the wait times right now at the – because we're going to do the other parks too at the Star Wars rides. The Millennium Falcon ride right now is an hour and 35 minutes. And the Rise of the Resistance ride, which is apparently like the coolest one, that's 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Jesus. 2 hours
and 15
minutes?
You have to try the blue milk.
Thank God. Very pumped for that.
You said that you may not dress as a character. What did you mean by that?
I'm dressing as something Star Wars. Wait, I'm gonna send it. I'm gonna type it out to you.
He's going to dress as Ken or Luke from the toy line with a yellow lightsaber.
Okay, Ken Jack's going as one of the characters from Fanboys.
Yes, absolutely. Talk about ones that I just need the costume that's going to be the least amount of layers possible, which would not be that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just don't know what
you could. I said you could go with Dexter Jetser. All we would need is a sweatpants.
Set of fucking two extra prosthetic arms on. They
may not let you in the park if you dress as him because you would look so disgusting. Because I thought about today, I'm like, how would you make that? You need an apron, a gray shirt, and gray sweatpants, and you would need to...
A wife beater. He wears a wife beater, Dexter G.
Jetser.
You
need to douse them in just grease and just let them get stained.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember in the Red Letter Media reviews when they talk about Dexter Jetser?
Oh, yeah. It's
He just goes, look at this lumbering fat asshole.
I mean, that's and our good friend Mr. Sunday Movies said it too. It's like George Lucas was so obsessed with 50s era stuff that he put a 50s diner in Star Wars.
He has a mustache too. I forgot.
I was wrong, by the way. Did not have a beater. He just has like a really disgusting white t-shirt covered in food. It's disgusting.
Is that the most jarring word ever said in Star Wars when Dexter Jetser says the word pocketbook?
Your pocketbook.
It's like that's a word I don't want to hear. Like,
The implication that pocketbooks exist in a galaxy far, far away.
And they call them pocketbooks.
Credits. They all got to use credits, put credits somewhere. Credits seem like the most inefficient currency to hold, by the way. It's just like a rectangle, like a metallic rectangle you have to carry with you everywhere. So it's like a more annoying version of change.
They went back to gold. That's literally what they did. They went back to like actual physical metal.
Doubloons.
Backwards. Reject modern modernity or whatever.
Interview. Yeah. Cocaine Bear. O'Shea Jackson Jr. Alden Ehrenreich. Speaking of Star Wars. We talked to them. This was fun. I got a chance to talk to O'Shea once before. Kendrick, you were away when it happened. But now you got the O'Shea experience. He is a blast. They're both so fun. They were both great. It's a very fun interview. Talked about Twitter. We talked a lot about Twitter, and Alden Ehrenreich's not on Twitter. We talked about how mean Twitter is. Here's our interview.
The meanest place on earth.
We are joined for the second time by O'Shea Jackson Jr. We've had him on before. Just me, though. Kendrick wasn't here.
It was just me.
Sure. So now all of us. And then for the first time, Alden Ehrenreich. Thanks, guys, for joining us. How's it going?
Thank you. It's going great.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
What a movie we have to talk about today. One that there's something about a fun and good movie early in the year, but then there's something even better about a movie where you go, we're going to be talking about this at the end of the year. Like that is Cocaine Bear right off the top. If you don't know what Cocaine Bear is, I will read the synopsis quick.
You do need a synopsis. A 500-pound
black bear consumes a significant amount of cocaine and embarks on a drug-fueled rampage. An eccentric gathering of cops, criminals, tourists, and teenagers assemble in a Georgia forest to stop it. February 24th, you've probably seen the advertisements. There's a massive billboard on the way out of Manhattan into Brooklyn. I've seen it for months. Where does this rank for the both of you on projects you've done? Because it is a blast to watch, so I cannot even imagine how fun it was to make.
I don't know. For me personally, it's top five. Top five for sure. I know I probably got like nine, but like five is still a good number. But yeah, it's just fun, you know? At the end of the day, movies are there to entertain. And we need a good film that's a bit of an escape. And at the same time, we are a period piece and based on true events. Mm-hmm. But it is a fun ride, and it's something that audiences can enjoy. It's something that my father always told me, never do a movie you wouldn't go see. And as soon as I heard the title, my first thought is, take my money. I'm already sitting in the seat waiting.
Love that. Are you two ashamed at all that this movie took so many creative liberties with Cocaine Bear? This poor bear didn't even kill anybody, and you guys have him masked up looking like some sort of serial killer.
I mean, Jack and Rose not even real, and Titanic's the highest selling movie of all time.
That's right. Our bear, there was a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still around, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, so not at all. It's it's definitely, it's true events. You know, it's not a true story. It's true events. And, at the same time, we're here to entertain. We're here to put asses in seats at the end of the day. And, why would I be ashamed of Cokie? I love her.
Yeah, we love her.
Oh, that's the name you gave her?
No, that's the name. That's we didn't name it. Script, I think.
Yeah,
Cokie is the name of the bear. Oh, I like
some
that.
People, some people like the name Smokey the Bear. We Cokie. Like Cokie the Bear.
Exactly right. That's the pun.
Gotcha.
I was going to wait to bring this up later, but because you brought up Jack and Rose, I could not stop laughing at the fact that James Cameron was finally releasing this movie he's worked on for his whole life, the sequel, years being told it's never coming out, made fun of. And he's still answering questions about Jack and Rose fitting on the same piece of wood, the same plank. That just leads me into my question for Alden is, can you just one day, and we're not going to ask you this today, can someone just ask you about Han Solo and you go, no interest. Sorry. I don't want to do
it. You want me to say that?
Just one day be like,
yeah, sure.
Like, do you want to play and be like, no.
Fuck no. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. I'm happy
just
to
cut it off.
Yeah. Do that at some point.
This is, have you guys seen the actual stuffed bear in Kentucky, though? Like the actual.
No. I want to.
It has a hat. It's wearing a hat.
Wearing a hat. Yeah.
Come on.
I want it to show up at the premiere. That's what I've been pushing for. And I don't know. It might. We might. We'll see. That might be in the works. It's there. I mean, the real. You know, when they do a movie based on people, the people show up, right?
Right. That's true. That's true. That's actually accurate. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I like that. I mean, now that I've done Cocaine Bear, I think that is my. I mean, it's my second favorite thing in Kentucky. My first one.
Yeah,
my first favorite thing in Kentucky
is
the fact that the
is a fact.
Is the fact that the college basketball team calls it's the KFC Yum Arena and they
call it
the Bucket.
No.
Dude, yeah. How hard is that, bro?
You were just talking about this, what, yesterday, Jeff?
Yeah, we just talked about this yesterday on our podcast.
You talked about it yesterday?
Literally yesterday. I was like, really into the Snickers Wars. Remember with bro. Twix?
Stop.
Oh, come on.
But yeah, the Snicker, if you look it up, Snickers and Twix had a weird war on Twitter. And it happened while we were doing Cocaine Bear. Just a little side note. Take time and use some good internet and look that up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Bucket. Shout out to the Bucket. That's in pretty Kentucky.
Great. They serve like the Yum brand, like Taco Bell, KFC in the arena. Like that's as good of an arena experience as it gets.
Can Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's a good arena experience. The one that I hate in Atlanta, their new stadium that they just built for the Falcons, they have Chick-fil-A in the stadium. Chick-fil-A isn't open on Sundays when the Falcons play.
That's
who
crazy.
Works at that Chick-fil-A?
I lost you. What?
That's right. Who works there, bro? Who works there? They opened a restaurant for a football team. Football teams play on Sundays.
Right.
The restaurant isn't open on Sundays.
So who's there?
Who is there?
Who is there?
Who gets those checks?
Who is there?
Yeah.
Interesting move. Yeah. Maybe not financially sound by Chick-fil-A.
Right.
You guys play a pretty good comedic duo. Look at even off screen, Alden. Who is there a comedic duo you guys would liken yourselves to on screen? Is there a famous movie duo you'd say you guys compare to most?
Who we're like? Turner and Hooch, maybe.
Absolutely.
Which one's Turner? Which one's Hooch?
Tom Hanks, bro.
Yeah, he's Tom Hanks. I'm the
no, but Hooch, you know, Hooch dies.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
Get shot.
I don't remember. I had the tape.
He definitely gets shot. I remember
that.
He
gets shot.
I don't think he dies.
No, he doesn't die.
Maybe
right?
He does. Maybe he does because there's no Turner and Hooch 2.
That's true.
There's a reboot, though.
Yet.
They did do a reboot, yeah.
They did reboot it. They remade it.
With Josh Peck, your co-star in Oppenheimer.
Wait, what?
Wow.
They rebooted it on Disney Plus with Josh Peck.
You're kidding. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well, that's good. Serious, I'm glad we're promoting that alongside us.
Yeah, one of the things I loved about your guys' interaction on screen and everything was specifically when you guys were with Aaron Holiday, I thought it was so fucking funny. Every single time you guys, every line, it just cracked me up. Were there any, like, I just imagine in my head, there had to be a lot of off-screen breaks for laughter, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with Aaron and gave Aaron a lot of shit. And Aaron is a great guy. And we, that was very fun.
Yeah, Aaron is a movie within himself. He's a good dude. We were the three amigos for quite some time.
Yeah,
man, that's the guy that's missing right now. That we definitely were a three headed monster for a while on Cocaine Bear. He's a good dude.
He has a whole bit that I'm his boyfriend, and I'm like, I'm not your boyfriend. He's like, yeah, but you are my boyfriend.
You guys have been in a bunch of movies with CGI monsters, CGI things. CGI Bear, though, where does that compare? Tough to act against, tough to follow. In terms of the big, I mean, you've been in Godzilla, so you've been in probably the biggest, O'Shea, in terms of monsters. But where does a CGI bear compare in terms of acting against that?
I like it better. In Godzilla, I'm running from a tennis ball. You know, I'm looking up at a giant orange H on a blue tarp. You know, when we do Cocaine Bear, we had a great creature performer by the name of Alan Henry. And big dude, you know, did Lord of the Rings work, super professional. I asked him about his lower back pain. He said, through the roof, you know, crawling on all fours. You could imagine.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know, the pull. So he's a good guy. And it's great to physically have something there to work with. So, you know, I prefer the work of a more practical.
Mm. Yeah. Which is the way a lot of stuff goes. I mean, that's what's really cool is like over the last, it feels especially in the last like 6 years or so, like there's an acknowledgement that when you do it with something real, not just for the benefit of the actors, but even on screen, CGI, like, you know, it's just better. It's better when it's real. It's better when it's there. And I'm really glad we're trending toward that.
Mm-hmm. We always talk about that with Mission Impossible too, how like just seeing something happen in real time is just, yeah. There's a more blockbuster experience to that, especially when you can make as much as you can that and as little as you can CGI, which in your guys' case is the bear, but everything else is around you is it's happening.
Exactly.
Besides a bear, which coked out animal do you think you guys think you could fight? Win in the fight, let's say.
I'll kill a coyote.
Really?
Do you think you'd just take a coyote?
I'm just saying, bro. Coyote, like American coyote, get up to about, what, 25 pounds? I got a lot of 25 pounds on me, bro. And he only got one move. Bite it. Once he lays that them teeth on his arm, he getting all this weight. I'm cracking them ribs.
Okay.
All right? It's no debate. Anything else, I'm in trouble.
Would you rather fight one giant coyote or like 50 tiny coyotes?
Yo, 50 tiny coyotes.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going at them, bro.
I can't agree. I think it's got to be the one.
Yeah, but he said giant. What is a giant coyote?
It's the same size as you.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, you're
dead. That's tough. Yeah, you bet.
Especially if he's on coke.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly.
Yeah, bro. Them 50 getting this work. I'm at least knocking out 30.
I think like a lizard would be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Although fast.
Yeah, they got, bro, agility through the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, that boy agile.
Much to think about.
The social media marketing of this movie is kind of off the charts, which we've seen a little bit more than, not that they haven't marketed movies on social media before, but even this year, like the movie Megan was very big on social media, on TikTok and all that. But this movie is just the same, especially Twitter. Osha, you're very active on Twitter. You're a great follower on Twitter. You just came very close to roasting the new CGI Barney. You really held back.
What is that? I need to know that story.
Barney, because like...
What is it?
Because they're bringing Barney back and like,
yeah,
and he digital now. It's not a guy in a suit, and they redesigned him. He got a gap tooth now, but like, it's like I'm a Barney kid, okay. So I had to tell myself in a tweet, Shay, it's not for you. You're a grown up, bro. It's not for you. Don't say nothing about the new Barney.
Right.
It's not for you. Don't say nothing about the new Barney. And I had to hold back because they are ruining a classic. But it's not for me.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, I got a 5-year-old and I love the fact that they're bringing Barney back because Barney taught me a lot. Like it's an educational, fun show for kids. First of all, it taught me about the Big Dipper.
Really?
You know, constellations. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Clean up, everybody everywhere. Clean up, mm-hmm. everybody do your share. Like, you know, it's just
what
like,
about the,
it teaches you.
Cookies, the Barney bag, it's endless.
Bro, so like, it's educational. And the more we have stuff like that to teach, you know, a little bit of morality to kids instead of, you know, just wacky or TikToks or YouTube shorts.
Yeah.
You know, it's a plus. So, you know, more power to you. But boy, I was going to get y'all. I was good. If I wasn't a father, I was going to light y'all up.
Oh my God.
Is Daniel Kaluuya doing a like a dark version of Barney, like a more adult kind of?
Really?
Oh my God!
It's like death.
They got the Winnie the Pooh one coming out soon. The Blood and Honey.
Yeah. I don't like that. There's one. A dark
Blood and Honey. Blood and Honey.
Yeah. That's a good title though.
It's crazy.
Just Winnie the Pooh. You know, Winnie great. The Pooh.
What y'all know about?
I love Winnie the Pooh.
100 Acre Wood, bro.
How have you not converted Alden into a Twitter user though?
Mm.
He be reading books, dog. Like, you know, he's a...
Boo. You don't want to read people calling you like a loser, an idiot, like every other person Twitter has to do?
No, I've never had a Twitter.
I like Twitter because it's so mean.
So mean. The meanest place on earth.
It's everybody's mean.
It's the meanest social media app there is. Like, really? Instagram, you post pictures of yourself kissing your own ass all day.
Right.
And people are like, yeah, man, you look great. Like, yeah. Twitter is just for savages. Wow. You're just being just taunted by people with anime profile pics and,
yeah,
and like names with like 50 numbers at the end of it, yeah, just calling you trash. Yeah. It is the wild, wild west.
Actually, again, your Twitter, you just tweeted it. It was Kim and Kanye's daughter drew a picture of Ice Spice and just got roasted online. Just, it's a nice picture, too. Nothing wrong with it.
Their daughter drew a picture and got roasted. How old is their daughter? Like, yep, six?
No, she's older, but like, she drew a picture of an artist, Ice Spice. And you got people in the comments talking about, well, yeah, she's a billionaire. She's got all the time in the world to go to art school. And it's like,
I could go tweet right now, like, I like cheeseburgers, and like the first reply would be 420 Goku boner saying, like, you should literally take a shotgun and put it in your mouth. Like,
it's some sick stuff. And sometimes I like causing arguments on Twitter. One of my favorite things is to say, it's not even close. All you got to do is say something is better than something else and put it not even close. And people will lose their mind,
right,
bro. It's a fun game.
You should open a Twitter just to do that. Like, once a week, right, just put a really ridiculous fake opinion out there and just close the app and just see, watch people go wild.
Yeah, and people hate lists. You put a list of something.
They don't like it. They disagree with the list.
You can be like, these are my five favorite family members for my family, the first one. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, and AEW fans, they're fun to torment. I love that.
All wrestling fans in general they have a lot of opinions and they're very strong.
Other than all that, it's a great place.
Sounds great. I'm gonna get on it right after this.
Alden, we do have to show you one thing. One of the first things of pieces of content we made when we got here, which had to be around the year, it was, I guess, the year Solo came out. I impersonated you in Times Square and pretended to be you. I went around and I was like, hey, I'm Alden Ehrenreich. Everyone come say hi to me. And a lot of people came and they all thought I was you. It felt good because people were like really into it. They kept looking at the poster, looking at me and being like, you're not him, obviously. And then I'd take off the sunglasses and they'd be like, oh yeah, you're him. Like,
wow. Incredible.
And it wasn't even like they needed real proof. All they needed to see was him do this. That's it. He's gone. Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of conversation about this thing. Because it's a photo. It's one. He doesn't do it in the movie. There's one publicity photo where it's this. So there were long conversations with the stunt teams about like, so we want him to do this, and us being like, I don't think this makes sense. Like in a, you know. So there's a lot of that, but we did it. We ended up doing it. And then Woody Harrelson. We decided we weren't going to do it, and then no one told Woody Harrelson. So he was just doing this for like all the stunt scenes, and then like 3 weeks later found out that no one else was doing it. Oh. So pissed. Yeah.
It felt really good until one guy was like, yeah, I'm here on leave from the army and I'm so glad I got to meet you. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, I ended it right there
and I was like, now I feel like a piece of shit. I'm not him. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
you
that was
do
the
that
part
for this movie too.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Just do it. Yeah, be the bear.
We're gonna do a couple bear battles here. You both got to give your answers. We're gonna pit two famous bears against each other. Who would win in a fight? We'll start off with your own. We'll start off with Cokie. Yeah. Cocaine bear versus the bear from The Revenant that mauled Leo.
Yeah, you see how Cokie has a name and Bear from The Revenant doesn't. I'm gonna go with Cokie in four games. Thank you.
Okay. Smokey the Bear, pretty pleasant guy.
Really.
Former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler.
Mm. Oh my God, Jay Cutler would quit in the third round. What do you mean, bro? No, it's all good. You got to go with Smokey. Only you can prevent forest fires.
Your bit?
What?
Someone has that bit that they heard that as a kid and it scared the shit out of them. No. It's like only you.
Yeah,
can
only you, bro. Can prevent forest fires. I'm on it.
Right.
I swear to God.
Isn't the whole bit with Jay Cutler that he smokes cigarettes, though? Isn't that Smokey's number?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wow. That's a good. All right, that's a good round one matchup then. Okay. But yeah, I gotta go Smokey. You know, classic. You know, no disrespect to Jay Cutler, but like, you're not even like just a Bear. You know, you were all you went everywhere with your career. I gotta go Smokey. He would understand.
That's fair. Now the next is the battle of bears and clothes. That would be Winnie the Pooh. You know, well known with the pants, and then Paddington, well known for his jacket, galoshes. Paddington versus Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm. They're fighting?
Yeah, they're fighting. Yes. Just a full, like, one death. Survives, one
I don't
dies.
Really know so much about Paddington. Apparently, Paddington 2 is, like, the greatest movie that's ever been made, right?
Unironically,
it's very good. It's very good.
Yeah, people, I gotta see that. I love Winnie the Pooh, but he's not a fighter. He's really not about being a fighter.
Yeah, not at all. But, like, I like honey more than I like marmalade.
True.
Is Paddington about marmalade?
Yeah, it's
yeah, yeah, he likes jams, yeah.
Yeah. Big jam.
Paddington is very British. Very
yeah, right.
I gotta go Winnie. You know, Paddington don't got homies either. You know, Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh stays with some beasts behind him.
Yeah.
Bro. All right. So yeah, I'm gonna go 100 Acre Wood till I die.
Last one before we do our rapid fire to end it here. This is a good. This is kind of similar to the 50 Mini Wolves one. Survivalist Bear Grylls versus a bunch of Care Bears. We'll say like 20.
20 Care Bears versus what?
Bear Grylls.
Oh.
The survivalist. I seen him cut open a seal and use his skin as a swimsuit and dive in the water. You don't go against a man that
I don't even know if that's real or if you're making that up, but it sounds so
I promise you, he cut open a seal, used the skin as a swimsuit, and jumped in the water.
I mean,
on my daughter.
I saw him drink his piss before, so that is actually more believable. I think
the right. That, I don't think Care Bears drink their own piss.
No, man.
I don't know. I got to check with the lore on that. That might be canon. I don't know.
What are Care Bears? Is that a cartoon?
Yeah, bro.
I watched that as a kid.
Yeah, they got.
I think
like
Bear Grylls, right? Like that sounds. I don't know who he Bear is. Grylls, but that sounds like he's gonna win.
Listen, you put Bear Grylls against 20 Care Bears, you'll have 10 pair of shoes real quick.
Oh my god. All right. We gotta do rapid fire here. We call it a six pack. It's a six pack of questions. It can be long, short answers, whatever you want. First one is for Ashe. How bad did Gerard Butler smell during Den of Thieves?
Smelled quite all right, if I can remember.
That was the dirtiest looking man I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed cool. You know, it might have been all that LAPD you saw on him.
He looked so grimy. He looked like he smelled like cigarettes and pennies. Like, this is a disgusting man.
That might be what it was.
Cigarettes and pennies. The next one's for Alden. Is there ever a moment in the movie that you had that was similar between you and Ralph Fiennes in Hail Caesar, which is hysterical, one of my favorite movie scenes?
Is there ever a movie? What's the question?
Was there a scene between? Was there ever a moment between you and a director that was similar to the scene between you and Ralph Fiennes in Hail Caesar?
Yeah, there have been, for real. I can't really talk about who, but yeah, I've had some experiences like that where you're doing the line over and over again. Yeah,
I still can't get it in my head. Like, was it word that a twer was the line? I think, and still I can't say it.
Word that a twer so simple. Yeah,
word that a twer so simple. Yeah, that's so good.
Oshay, since the last time we talked to you, you officially made your Star Wars debut. Did you print out the on-screen credit, hang it somewhere? Is it like a mural in your house somewhere just to see your name over those stars and that blue lettering?
Definitely posted it. Definitely have my Obi-Wan Kenobi poster. Definitely have several of my Funko Pops because it was the first time I got one of those. I thought for sure I was going to get one for Straight Outta Compton, and they just came out with another Ice Cube one.
Like, an action
figure? Yeah, it was a little big-headed. Yeah. So I finally got one for
Rogan. Do you have a regular action figure, though?
No. We didn't get one. Fuck. Yeah, I know, dude. Disrespect. Yeah. I thought I was going to at least get my gun in the game. But anyway, so Funko. I got my own Funko. They made some shirts. I went full Roken. And also, I found out Roken, and I forget what language it is, but it means smoke, and Roken wants the smoke constantly, bro. So, cool. Yeah, I think I got the coolest name, bro.
Hell yeah. For Alden, you're part of that massive Oppenheimer cast like we were talking about before. Can you spoil the movie for us? Does the bomb like go off or?
No, I can't tell you. That's the big twist of the movie, you know. Did it happen or not? Yeah. No, I can't.
How much do you like, obviously it's based on a true story, but how much like do you know about it? Have you seen, like, are you only kind of boxed into what you were in the movie? Like, how secretive?
I mean, I read the script. I took a class in college on the making of the atomic bomb. It was amazing. That's the whole story is the most incredible, and I always wanted to do something about it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, not a movie. unbelievable cast, unbelievable filmmaker, and it's going to be a spectacular film, I think.
All right, but now we got the last one for both of you, starting with O'Shea. And a movie that you auditioned for, really wanted, but didn't get.
Ooh, Solo, a Star Wars
movie. That's true. Yeah, we read together.
Bro, I thought for sure I had this in the bag. They called me back like 3-4 times. And I was like, all right, for sure. I might as well just start learning how to fly a Millennium Falcon. And then, nope, they give it to Danny Glover. Donald Glover. And I was like, all right, I'm never watching this movie to this day. Never saw it. Yeah. And then I end up getting in Star Wars anyway and then working with you anyway.
Right.
So, you know, look at God. But yeah, Solo, that movie could kiss my ass.
Same question for Alden.
That's good. Same question, a movie I auditioned for and didn't get.
One that you really wanted to, specifically.
Oh, man. You'd think I'd remember this. There's a movie that was called Heartland. It came out called At Any Price.
Zac Efron did it. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. I really wanted to do it. It's a long time ago, but I don't have a more fun answer than that. There's not, like, one that's, like, a big movie.
Bro.
Damn.
And I'm starting to wish that Danny Glover really did get the part.
Yeah, that would have been
just 80 years old.
Older than the prequel would have been something.
Yeah. He would have been older than the, like, much older than the prequel, Billy Dee.
Right, way older.
That'd be very funny.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much. This was a blast, but it pales in the comparison to Cocaine Bear. Make sure you see Cocaine Bear in theaters. February 24th. These two are in it.
Shay wants to do Lethal Weapon as a remake.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Oh, you too, Lethal Weapon?
Hell yeah.
Us as Lethal Weapon.
Come on, right?
We have the poll, so you're talking to the right people. We definitely.
Yeah, exactly. We're the guys to ask about this.
Great.
Don't you worry about it.
Aren't you the new Han Solo? Yeah.
The most we can do is clip you saying that and put it on Barstool Sports. That's about it. That gets you a little bit. So
don't do that.
Thanks, guys. Cocaine Bear in theaters.
All right, favorite of the year so far. It's like the most. It's a Lord and Miller produced movie. It is very 21 Jump Street in its execution, which I think is just something I feel like I've missed from comedy movies. Super funny.
How much cocaine would you recommend doing before the movie?
In the movie, I think they consume like 20 kilos worth or something, like at least that you see on screen. So something
I got
there.
Okay. Two things that happened to me. I went to a Cinemark the other day when I saw Ant-Man, which we're about to review. I asked for the to-go popcorn and I said, can I get the to-go bag? Because I was going to leave with it. I was like, I just want to have it at home. Last of Us, made some other stuff. And he's like, to-go bag? I was like, yeah, like the big, it's like the big bag of popcorn. And take it and leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I was like, what the fuck? I go, I know you sell it. Like, so I was like, yeah, like it's the big long bag. You can leave with it. And he's like, he goes, you mean like the large? I'm like, no. I go, it's on your door. It's advertised on the window. He goes, oh, the Pack-a-Pop. It's like, you fucking. And like, I've worked retail. I would never be rude. But in my head, I'm like, you're a piece of shit, man. Like, I was so mad. I mean, it was not me and Numa. I was like, yes, yes, that. But I'm like, dude, are you serious right now? Yes, the Pack-a-Pop.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still do the refillable tubs? I remember I used to be a Cinemark member, and that was a nice little perk.
And then, but so
you paid for like the tub, and it was like $3 to refill it every single time.
Mine is not doing free refills, and they gave me a Coca-Cola instead of a Diet Coke, and I went back out, and I was like, this is definitely a Coke. And he's like, oh, we're not doing free refills. I'm like, I feel like this one qualifies.
Yeah, that's a refill. It's not a refill.
The wrong drink here. Yeah. Otherwise, I like Cinemark. Cinemark's a very good popcorn.
I always love Cinemark because it sounds like it's a guy. Like, hey, I'm Cinemark. I'm the I review movies or something like that. Like, I like the idea of Cinemark.
Like a show cat is their mascot. He's in like a suit, like a tux.
I love that. Actually, I don't think I've ever been to a Cinemark.
Sounds like the cat from what's the Studio Ghibli movie?
Oh, remember the one returns? With the cat.
Yeah,
the cat returns. Or,
and he was in.
Well, he is a tabby cat. It's Front Row Joe.
That's great. Although, why would you want to sit in the front row?
Yeah, well, he sits. He reserves his seats in the front row, so everyone else gets a fair shake and can sit elsewhere.
See, it's so weird. Front row, like that's the best thing you want in a sporting event. The last thing you want, in a
except
movie.
For that asshole from the New Yorker. Thing.
Yes, fucking Richard.
Richard Brody.
Richard Brody.
Wait, he sits in the front row.
Yeah, this guy, he looks like a ghost from the Confederate War. He looks like and then he just gives
person
like
in existence. It reminds me of the roast joke from Greg Giraldo. Rest in peace to both people involved in the joke. He says Gilbert Gottfried looks like he smells like pee. That's how I would describe. Also, we had you know what's pissed me off about this interview? Nothing about the interview itself. It was a junket interview, so we sat in the lobby. Ken Jeckner sat in a virtual lobby with a bunch of other like movie journalists. And before they got on, it was just like six and a couple of them notable movie journalists too. They were just bitching and moaning about the runtime of John Wick Chapter 4. It was
crazy.
If we had like recorded that and put, they want to ruin their career. People have been like, "What? Like you entitled?" It's kind of like when a sports reporter complains about the spread in a press box. It's like, what are you talking about? They're like, one of them's like, can you, but like, don't they know we don't want to sit through this crap for 2 hours? Like, what are you talking about? This successful action franchise that people, your job is to watch movies and interview people. What are you complaining about the runtime? And like, whatever, like we complain about runtimes too, but like to sit on the junket with the studio on the call and you're like, oh, can you believe this? Like, what are you talking, like.
It's not even like a 3.5 hour runtime. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's every Marvel movie they've ever watched.
And again,
shit their
like
pants
I get
over.
If you're doing it, like we've done it. If you're doing it for content, like whatever. But like they're on. Nobody's recording this. They're just and they were just going at it. Like this is unbelievable. It's like a crime against humanity that John Wick's 2 hours and 40 minutes. I was like, oh my
God. Was it Kermit and Mayo?
Like, holy shit!
It's Bill Simmons. And the Rewatchables crew.
Who it is. They were just pretty notable people too. I was like, I was kind of surprised too. Because like they're like the people on it were pretty big, never say anything bad about a movie, like always make the studios like you on social media. And they're just on like off air, like just I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Weird. And they're like,
you know, the 90 minute movie is kind of like the mid-range jumper in the NBA. What happened to it?
Literally, that was Bill.
That was a fun interview. Interview next week with Matt Shackman, who is got a new show on Amazon with Christoph Waltz, but also did WandaVision and is directing Fantastic Four. Speaking of Marvel, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, the kickoff for the new phase for the MCU, the not really introduction of the new villain. He was introduced in Loki.
Loki, yeah.
Jonathan Majors, Kang the Conqueror, many different forms of that character. I'll read you the actual synopsis. Let's see what do they say here. I mean, it's a Marvel. We don't usually do this for Marvel movies, but I'll read it anyway. Ant-Man and the Wasp find themselves exploring the quantum realm, interacting with strange new creatures, and embarking on an adventure that pushes them beyond the limits of what they thought was possible as we are introduced to the brand new Thanos. I love calling him Thanos. Directed by Peyton Reed, who did all the other Ant-Man movies. He took over for Edgar Wright. Screenplay by Jeff Loveness, features all the returning people that we remember from the other Ant-Man movies, the main ones, Evangeline Lilly as Hope Van Dyne, obviously Paul Rudd as Scott Lang, Michelle Pfeiffer as Janet, and like, oh, it says Nick Fury's in the movie. No, he's not.
Does it really?
did I miss something? Michael Douglas as Hank Pym. A lot of people not returning. Michael Pena not in the movie. Judy Greer, Bobby Cannavale, they're not in it. Greg Turkington is back, though.
He is.
On cinema legend Greg Turkington. Catherine Newton takes zero over bags as Cassie Lang, who is now a much older character in this movie. And then a couple other cameos. And one cameo, which I think we're all going to disagree on this movie, but I do think this person's role in the movie is the number one problem with the movie. And I think if this had just been cut out, we would have a significantly different movie. And I think people would think differently.
I don't think we're going to disagree on.
No, I think I like it significantly more than you guys do.
Oh, you like
it? I mean, okay. I like it relatively. It is definitely where it's rated. And I'll just say off top, I think this is way better than people are putting it out to be. I think the critic score being the lowest in the history of Marvel is insane.
Crazy.
That is crazy to me. I actually cannot believe that. It's at a 47% approval from critics. Audiences seem to like it for the most part, 84%. It has its flaws. I have not given a ton of Marvel movies below an 80. This one does get below an 80, but I think this is one of the Marvel movies that actually was very successful with writing cut. I laughed at this movie. I did not – like, if we're comparing this to Love and Thunder, I cringed at a lot of Love and Thunder. Like – which that was a joke that Red Letter Media made with, like, did he tank the movie on purpose? Did Taika Waititi, like, purposely make a not funny movie?
Yeah.
And I've disliked Love and Thunder the more since it's come out. I've kind of remained the same on Multiverse of Madness. I really liked Wakanda Forever. But this, I don't hate it as much, but, like, I think it's an incredibly average movie that could have been good if they just pared it down. So I have it at above Love and Thunder. And right below Captain Marvel is 78. I enjoyed it. I had a really good time with it. But I'll tell you what, the Bill Murray inclusion is the most unnecessary thing that I've seen in a Marvel movie in a very long time. It was just – I understand the world building stuff. They did not need to world build as much as they did because I liked MODOK. I thought MODOK was fun. I thought the jokes of him like being like, finally my time. And every time he do that, Paul Rudd would cut into it. And like it would kind of like stop the flashback. I thought that humor was well played out. Thought they did a good job there. I like that character. I think Jonathan Majors as Kang is awesome. He is going to be so good. I hope he pops up in everything. Him in Loki season 2 is going to be incredible. But man, that part of the movie just derails what could have been, I think, really enjoyable. We'll see where we differ. I know the ants. Robbie and I have talked about the ants. I do not have a problem with that whatsoever. I thought it was set up fine. But I enjoyed it. But with that said, relative to the rest of the MCU, it's bottom fourth for me. But I think the Bill Murray character is my biggest issue. It's so wholly unnecessary to have that in the movie because they could have jumped to the other shit quicker. And I really do think if they would have done that, people would think differently about this movie. Because I think I've been more focused on what I think are two cool villains. I think are two really cool villains. Krylar, get out of here, Krylar. Bill Murray, go away.
His name is Krylar.
I had no idea. I had no idea what the fuck you're talking about there for a second. I was like, who the fuck is Krylar?
Go play.
He's just Bill. It's just Bill Murray.
Legend. Yeah. Legend. Go play the Celebrity Invitational in Reno every year and just be done with. Yeah. Just go away. I'm sorry.
Let's be honest. When was the last time he was like really good in a movie?
Lost in Translation, probably.
He wasn't bad as his character. It was kind of like I guess in the vacuum of the character, like whatever. Like it wasn't like him in the Ghostbusters, like the female Ghostbusters, where you're like, oh my god, like he does not care. But yeah. I just so 78 for me. I enjoyed it more than I think most people or I guess critics did. But it's a bummer for me because I do think this could have been way better. But I'm excited for Kang. That's my biggest takeaway. I'm very excited for Kang. I think Majors is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I landed on a 74. I think it's an easy like pro con movie. I think the cons is mostly just that like it doesn't do anything well. Like the action isn't great. Humor is more missed than hit. Everything else about it is just like okay, but nothing is exceptional. But I think the biggest problem for me with the movie is just that it felt like it was really out of its depth. Like for both the character of Ant-Man and for Peyton Reed, because what made those first two movies so special, at least for me, are like the scale. You know, it's small scale, taking place in a city, small, intimate, lovable,
no pun intended.
Funny. Yeah, like no pun intended of that stuff. But like that scale of it was what made them so like refreshing to compared to the rest of the MCU. And that is totally lost in this movie, 100%. And I think also they didn't let Kang cook. Jonathan Majors is an elite actor, and he should have been present for the entire movie. You don't meet him really outside of that opening 2 seconds until like past the halfway
point? Close to an hour.
Like that portion where they're so focused on them finding the world building and the crowd. Like if they had just done away with that and you get right to Kang or at least MODOK, like I think it's way better.
Significantly better. And like you could say like, oh, well, they're setting him up for the other movies and all that. But like this was an individual variant of Kang. You could give him his own fleshed out thing before he dies and all that stuff. But they didn't. Yeah. And they just kind of made for an OK villain. Just OK. Yeah. And it just felt like there were too many characters. Like there was like this felt like almost not an Avengers movie, but there were so many people that they had to flesh out in this. And they just did not have enough time. And it distracted from like what should have been really. Here's Ant-Man. Here's Kang. They're the stars of this movie. Instead, like we're listening to Michael Douglas rattle off one-liners and saying shit 500 times, and we have like all these other random like new people, like William Jackson Harper and like the I don't know, the jacked Amazonian lady, whatever she is, and like all these other characters. I don't care about that.
What's annoying to me is like I liked William Jackson Harper's like I liked them, but they didn't need to exist. They didn't need to be in the movie.
There was none. There was no need for them at all. But like on the good side of it, like when the humor lands, super funny. Like the seven holes joke made me laugh out loud in the theaters. Yeah, most of the theaters were joking.
I'm glad you brought that up. That one got me really good.
The creature design I thought looked cool. I thought particularly Michelle Pfeiffer, Jonathan Majors. I thought people were shitting on Catherine Newton, right? I don't think she was told. She was fine. She was totally fine.
You didn't like her, Gooch?
I thought she was totally fine.
I don't know what the problem was there.
I don't think a lot of the things I didn't like about her character had little to do with her acting.
Yes, exactly.
You brought up a good point. You can bring it up about say it. I don't want to steal your thunder. What? The fact that she's in a long sleeve, a Kohl's t-shirt for most of her time down there.
Instead of wearing a suit.
That wasn't my point, but yeah, no, that's pretty fucking stupid. Also, her landing, she studies the quantum realm for 4 years. She gets down there and immediately is like, where are we?
Yeah.
Where the fuck do you think you are?
I think one thing they should have harped on more was like the Pfeiffer Majors interaction was the best part of the movie to me. Like when they're stuck together and they're talking things out and they're figuring shit out together, like that was, I think, the strongest individual part of that whole movie. And then like that, and that's where like both of those actors get a chance to shine, especially Majors, like because you get that depth of emotion and all that stuff. And then like you cut away from that to now more fart and piss jokes and shit like that. And like I don't know, like. I think this should have been, if I had my own, I know it's Quantumania, you need to do all these big stakes and like set up Jonathan Majors, multiverse and all this shit. Like, but at the same time, I think they could have done a better job at sticking to the strengths of Ant-Man, which is that smaller scale and intimate nature that's what makes them so funny, while also presenting that in this multiverse world. And also just, you should have had more to do with Kang. Should have had more Kang. But at the end of the day, I think like this isn't a movie where I left it and I was like, wow, what a piece of shit. This is a 40% like movie. This is a terrible bottom tier Marvel. Like, no, it's just not. It's an entertaining movie without a doubt.
I think, I don't know.
There's Thor 2 exists, man. Like the Incredible Hulk exists. Like all these other movies that are legitimate bottom barrel, those are there. That is that tier of movies. This is certainly above that. It's entertaining, without a doubt. Funny, without a doubt. Little play by, or what do you call it? Not play by numbers.
I'll do a comp here.
Play by numbers, but that's it.
And let's see if you guys agree with this. I think this is definitely, like, I guess in the end it is. Like, I want to defend it because I don't think it's as bad as people are saying it is. It's definitely, I guess, towards the bottom fourth, whatever. But this, even like for you, Robbie, and you, Chris, I'll let you guys counter on this because Ken, Jack, and I talked. But, like, while it may not be like leagues better than like a Black Widow, I still had fun with this. Where Black Widow is very inoffensive, but there was never a point in Black Widow where I'm like, this is a good time. Like Ant-Man, I was like, I'm glad I went. Black Widow, I was like, oh my God, like this is the most vanilla shit in the world.
Yeah, I went back and lowered a lot of my Marvel scores recently. I was like, I gotta rewatch these because like all those movies I review like right after coming out of the screening, right? And like when you come out of, you always have that honeymoon period for like a split second, unless it's truly dog shit. And like, so like I'll put up the score and be like, except once that honeymoon wears off.
You like Spider-Verse more than like, me, but we had so many kids pissing and shitting. And then there was that one security guy who wouldn't turn his flashlight off. That was like almost the opposite on Spider-Verse. Yeah. But Robbie, you don't agree. Okay. So you're saying, Robbie, that Black Widow more fun than Quantumania.
Yeah. I think it was more fun.
Yeah.
Not by much, but yeah, no, I do think it was more fun. I think this was, I mean, it's not
bad. Like, I can't go as far to say it's bad, but it's a 55 out of 100 for me. This is bottom of the barrel MCU and really is a distillation of a lot of the issues they've been having. There's just too much. There's simply too much. They have too many shows. They have too many characters, and they try to cram too much into this movie. If this movie is Paul Rudd, if this is Ant-Man and the Wasp going down in the quantum realm, and maybe Cassie too, and going down there and trying to get out and face against Kang or face against MODOK and with Kang in the background, becomes a lot more self-contained and you can flesh out the things that they're trying to do. But you're flashing back and forth between Michelle Pfeiffer's character, Michael Douglas's character, Ant-Man, Darren, all this shit, this fucking Raider group, which I actually didn't absolutely hate because I do love the idea of them trying to do their Star Wars homage, but it didn't really work. Yeah, I mean, I actually really liked the Blob guy. The Blob guy was like just a nice piece of like that's sci-fi. Like, yeah, that's like a good little like that's classic sci-fi character. Like, I like that a lot. And the ships with the that could fly and move that were living, really cool. Almost ripped out of like Saga comics if you read that. But outside that, man, are we in spoiler section?
Sure.
Too? Yeah.
You cannot build up this Kang as the Kang variant that all the other Kangs fear so much that they banished him to a fucking universe without space and time and have him get worked by Michael Douglas's socialist.
I don't know why that bothers you so much.
I think that's a good point.
I'm going to debate you on that. I don't agree. I think he said that they were thousands of years advanced beyond technology. I think they got his suit. They broke his suit. Remember they said, like, once the suit breaks, he's not the same. Him getting his suit was the key to him being that powerful. The suit broke, so he wasn't that powerful.
The elite Kang wouldn't let his – if this is the elite Kang, his suit's not getting broke.
But yeah, they also –
he didn't go up against 2015 ants. He went up against, like, year 5,000 ants.
Well, and in that argument, how long has Kang been alive? Like, Kang is this being that exists outside of time.
Are you getting too, for the sake of devil care, are you way too much nitpicking it now though? Because this is still
he destroyed entire universes, like entire timelines he wiped out and with the suit. And I feel like that in the show, like that scene right in the beginning where he's sitting there just murdering millions and millions of people just like with the flick of a fucking wrist or whatever, and just like I agree with Rob. Getting worked by ants is a lame way to go. Yeah.
I think overall it was probably not the right decision to have him be the main villain here. I think using him as maybe the way they used Thanos in the first Guardians, where Ronan is like the main villain, but then Thanos is in the background really pulling the strings. I think that probably works better. Maybe have MODOK. MODOK feels like an Ant-Man villain.
Yeah, I really liked that character.
He was funny. The look of it was a little bit weird, but I don't know how you do that better.
Or it's not weird.
It's what I'm saying.
Nitpicking would be like the CGI was bad, which I think the CGI is completely on par with what we've grown accustomed to with the MCU. It's not gonna be Avatar. It's not gonna
Lord
blow
of the Rings.
Your mind with practical effects, but it's serviceable CGI. The color grading is more what bothered me because it's very
dull. That's all Marvel, though, unfortunately.
Very dull colors. This thing looks like. It looked like it was filmed in front of a giant fucking marble. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of shit in here. I didn't think it was particularly funny. Like, I do respect them pulling back on the humor because it would have been very easy to just say, here's Paul Rudd being snarky for 2 hours. They didn't do that. I respect them for that. But the jokes that they did have just really didn't land for me either.
See, that's the one that surprised me because I actually – as much an MCU defender as I am, like, they've had like humor issues. And I did think, like, for once, like, it was actually pretty respectable about the way they wrote the movie in terms of the jokes. Like, the Holes joke, I feel like in other movies, maybe not a land, but like, I thought Paul Rudd's comedic timing helps a lot there. I mean, that is also the other thing, too. Like, Paul Rudd is a true through and through comedic actor. It's a lot easier to have those lines land. Not to say like Chris Hemsworth isn't funny, but like, it's Paul Rudd. So it kind of works more. I don't know. I'm surprised that I'll give you the ants thing. I'm playing hard. I'm playing devil's advocate there because it just didn't bother me. But the humor thing, I'm a little surprised by. I don't know.
I thought Black Widow was funnier. I thought Yelena and
was very funny. I agree with that.
I thought Yelena and what's his Black face? Widow. David Harbour.
I think more and more every time I think
about
it.
I thought they were both.
No, I think Kucha's right, though, because like the consistent humor in Black Widow, especially like you were saying, Gooch, with Yelena and Red Guardian, like that is way more consistently funny than anything in Ant-Man. Ant-Man's hit rate on jokes was very low.
Yeah, I agree with you a lot with what you're saying, Gooch, about this. I don't like this. This is where I do agree with you though, Jeff. I'm surprised by the contempt. I don't find anything really.
Kendra called it inoffensive, and I think that's probably the best way to describe it.
That's fair. I mean, I've been kind of out on them anyway for a while. Marvel, that is. To me, the hate this is getting is the hate Thor: Love and Thunder deserved. Like, to me, people gave that movie such a fucking pass. And now I was the one guy who's like, this isn't good. And now months later, people are like, wait a minute. Well, no, I was right the entire time. But I didn't like that. I don't like this. There's nothing about it to me that's like, you know, ruining the MCU. Look, I'm not crazy about this universe at this point. Just the things that didn't work, none of it made me angry. Like, it just wasn't funny. It wasn't, offensively unfunny. I guess the one stipulation, the one kind of gripe I have is we all really like Jonathan Majors. And I'm really excited for Creed 3 now. Because,
awesome movie.
Even more so because I bet
he did technically box in this movie a little bit.
He did the noises. He did the same noises that he does in Creed. Did you notice that when he's punching Scott Lang? He does the same noises when he hits that he did in Creed.
I didn't see it.
I guess Robbie went.
We haven't seen it.
Robbie, I thought you went with me and Robbie Fox. I just blacked it out. Yeah, sorry.
Spoilers. Thanks for the spoilers.
Now we know how he sounds.
He's like,
makes noises.
It's cool.
But I do think the quality of the villain here is a little bit overinflated. Like, I think Jonathan Majors does a good job, but if we didn't know that this villain was going to be in other Marvel properties and be, you know, we're going to see the Kang Dynasty and stuff like that, he'd just be, in my opinion, another forgettable Marvel villain. He's just played by a really good actor. So, yeah, I mean, it's forgettable. And I'm with you, Gooch. I think the color grading made – I said my initial review, it made the Quantum Realm kind of look like diarrhea. Like, that you really had some unique opportunities with some admittedly kind of cool creature design, and it just looked ugly. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a reflection of what the MCU has become to me. This feels very processed. It feels very, you know, just quickly churned out. And, you know, I had a friend of mine that pointed this out as well, and I think he's right. You know, a lot of these Marvel movies, I feel like it maybe started with Robert Redford and Winter Soldier, feature like these classic actors that you wouldn't expect to be in Marvel movies. They're almost always bad. Like, Michael Douglas doesn't give a shit about this movie, I feel like. Michelle Pfeiffer's good. But he's I didn't think he was good in this at all. Evangeline Lilly is given nothing.
I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. I talked about a little bit. Yeah. I think they want her out of this. I think that
was
pretty intense.
100% they want her out. They're done with her.
Because the movies, we forget the title is Ant-Man and the Wasp, but there are barely any Wasp in this movie. She has a minor role in this. So yeah, it's an uneven, unfunny, not very well put together film, but it's, you know, I don't get the hate because I do feel like everyone came into it with the best of intentions. It just didn't work. So I'm with Gooch. It's a 55.
You know what they did that kind of pissed me off a little bit was like one of the things that I didn't like about The Last Jedi was the whole Admiral Holdo not telling Poe what the plan is.
Yeah.
For no real discernible reason too much. They did that with Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle Pfeiffer just like being like, I can't tell you anything. Just drawing that out.
What was
that? You can very easily say something. You're in the quantum realm. Just say whatever it is you want to say to help prepare your loved ones that they're better off trying to fight this monster of a man. It's crazy. Yeah. Pissed me off.
The interesting thing is, though, I will say this. Ant-Man is never a movie that sways people one way or the other. Also, post-credit scenes were great. I'm so excited for Loki season 2. Like, Loki season 2, I think, is going to be fantastic. But I think there's a way great that they play those out. What, are you not into that, Gooch? Come on.
I don't really care about these other variants of Kang. I want this fucking Kang. I don't care about these other variants of Kang. What are we going to do? What are we going to do for the next? What are we going to do for
these
next?
Isn't that the whole point of the Kang storyline, though, is that you have these multiple Kangs?
But I think the one single Kang, the Kang, there should be a lead Kang. You can't just keep killing this guy over and over again. He comes back as a different character.
Like, we don't know how that's going to play out, though. You don't know that. Like, this Kang, this clearly they're in the past in the post-credits scene. This Kang had plenty of things that happened before then, too. And we still are going to see the Conqueror. Like, it's the Kang Dynasty. Like, it's going to happen.
But to Gooch's point, like, that this Kang the Conqueror is his own important character. And I think that, like, you can't have this movie exist only as a setup for the other Kang, like the other new Kangs. Like, he should have, in his own right, been a great character, Kang the Conqueror, and he wasn't. Like, he wasn't fleshed out. He wasn't given enough time to shine. I didn't really. It was a waste of a villain.
If this movie ends,
he's big dead. They said that at the end of the movie. All the other Kangs are like, that Kang died, and they're like, oh, who killed him? We didn't kill him. So that Kang is dead. He's dead and buried. And I think that's
what I mean. I don't think you can do that in the MCU. I think MCU, you can bring anyone back.
Yeah, he's not dead. He's not dead, like, at all. Like, that's textbook comic book 101. That guy's not dead.
Do you even want to see him back then? If he's given this much of like a shitty intro, where of like
him,
like
him outside. Remember, that's the other thing too. T-level villain. He's contained in the quantum realm more than he is anywhere else. Or if we see him outside the quantum realm, like I you're going to see a whole different thing.
I think if this movie ends with Scott Lang literally sacrificing himself, dying, and they get out, the rest of the family gets out, because that's he only cares about getting his family out. He does not give a shit about stopping Kang to save the universe. Right. He's just worried about Cassie, Lily, or what's her name? I just called her Lily. Evangeline Lily.
Cassie.
Hope. There we go. And getting his family out. And he gets them out, but in the process, he dies. And Kang, you know, survives, but is down there and somehow finds his way out sooner or later. I think that becomes a lot more interesting. That's a much better setup for a villain than I'm supposed to
Loki,
fear.
Then?
I'm looking forward to Loki because I think Loki season one is the best thing MCU's done since
I thought that was
Endgame.
A cool tease, too. I like that, that type of, like, setting. And I like him saying, like, this is the guy that scares you. Like, I think fleshing out all the other Kangs is going to be what makes Kang come.
He kind of seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem all bad.
That's just
hard. I got to rewatch Loki soon.
Dude, that score, I was listening to it this morning, actually. The Natalie Holt score.
Oh, so also, good. I think Kang's theme is very good, too. I think it's a good theme. I re-listened to it on Spotify because I was kind of zoning. I usually zone out when you stay for the credits because you're just like, just get to the end already. Let me see that Made in Georgia logo. Yeah. But then like I was just like, oh, this Kang theme's like pretty cool. I don't know.
Yeah, this was definitely Made in Georgia. This was three rooms in Atlanta.
is like green screen the movie for MCU, but I guess like what do you expect? But the thing.
Yeah, I don't have – let me be clear. I don't – people thought like I was shitting on the CGI when I put up my initial – I don't care about the CGI. I have a tough time picking out.
Yeah, you do. I'm really bad.
I can notice when it's really good, but yeah, no.
I thought it looked good, especially with the. I like the design of the dude with the laser head. He was cool. Yeah. That was a cool ass creature. And like the Amazon woman is okay. Like the William Jackson Harper is okay. Like all those other sort of like weirdo Star Wars villains were cool. White Lando Calrissian, no good. As Robbie Fox pointed out.
I'm defending it more
Bill
than
Murray
anyone.
Was White Lando Calrissian
one of the lowest I've ever had in a Marvel movie? I will say though
he was the ex rogue that turned into a city administrator that then treats his friends to dinner and betrays them to the big bad guy. He's White Lando, and
not likable. They can get away with Ant-Man not being great, even if it has Kang, because Kang's gonna pop up on other stuff. Guardians needs to be good. Right. Summer blockbuster. It carries the weight.
Yes.
They need Guardians to be good. Like, there's a couple things they need to have be successful. That is one that has to be good.
Here's the narrative, though, if Guardians is really fucking good, like best thing that they've done since Endgame good, which I think it's going to end up being because I just have faith in Gunn with that franchise. I really like Guardians consistent. 1 and I really liked Guardians. I'm a Guardians 2
defender. We like Guardians 2, but Guardians 2 does not have the shine that Guardians was at all. Though I do defend that movie.
That's fair.
There are a fair amount of people, though, that think it is way better than the first one, which I am not one of them. I think the humor in 2 is pretty fucking juvenile.
What the narrative becomes though if Guardians 3 ends up being that movie is, oh wow, James Gunn made this movie, now he's going to DC.
Probably.
He's
going to DCU. I still really like Wakanda Forever. I really like that movie. I thought that again though that is a very established director being allowed to do what he wants to do. And to put like emotion and not have to cut everything with like a joke. Now, granted, their hand was kind of forced because the guy fucking died in real life. It's kind of hard to be like, man, maybe not. But like, Coogler is probably Coogler and Gunn are probably like two of the only people who have that kind of carte blanche to do that. Russos don't really count because the Russos.
Taika?
I guess, well, but, maybe not even Taika because they made that movie shorter. They were told to make it shorter.
That was an hour and a half.
Maybe not.
I'm not sure Coogler was allowed to do everything he wanted to do, though, because that 40-minute escapade to go find Riri Williams, I think that is very much MCU commanded.
I'll drop my defense.
I think that was my biggest problem with that movie.
Awesome. I love that movie.
It's all right.
I really enjoyed it.
Well, better than all right, but just not as good, not nearly on the level of the first.
The first one much more home.
And again, should have been Lupita. Should have been the new Black Panther. Lupita Nyong'o's. That what a whiff that was.
You see, to me, it should have been Okoye.
Even that, that would have been better too.
That would have been really better.
I don't know if that lines up with Okoye and that type of character. That type of character is so.
I would have
like.
They should have had Ryan Gosling.
My favorite Photoshop.
No, again, that movie, I do think is like, if you're ever going to give a Marvel movie a pass, that one probably needs to get a little bit of a pass.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah. That's thing. I didn't really care that much for Wakanda Forever, but I didn't, again, kind of like this one, I just viewed it as, well, shit, dude. Like, I don't know what the fuck they were supposed to do.
The fact that movie was like not, let's just start off with bad is kind of crazy. Cause try that with a couple other things and see what they do. Like Iron Man or like just like other movies like that or like Spider-Man. It's like that. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's kind of crazy. The movie wasn't complete ass. That's Quantumania. Mm-hmm. Cocaine Bear next week, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Very excited.
We start to log jam a little bit, I believe.
We're definitely having more come out. Cocaine Bear is definitely next up. It's so
no,
good.
It's just that. And then Creed 3 the week after that.
Yeah.
Well,
and Operation Fortune Ruse de Guerre.
Dude, we have an interview for that we've saved up for what, a year? Year plus?
The interview's so
with Josh
irrelevant.
Hartnett. It's insanely irrelevant.
I'm excited for Scream 6. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but I'm just kind of excited for it.
It'll be a good
movie. I think it's going to be fun.
It's had really. They've had a really fun marketing push for that movie. Like all the posters, like everything has been
very
fun.
Last thing I'll say
that.
Before we move on, by the way, all accounts are saying that Dungeons & Dragons is apparently really good.
I've heard.
I've seen that too. Yeah, I've seen that too.
I may be eating some serious shit.
Everyone's saying
one.
they're like, you can start to, someone's like, you can see now why people are saying the test screenings are so good. People are saying it's like very fun. Imagine that's your biggest movie.
Every trailer just looks worse, man. Every time we see one of those trailers, it just looks like a worse movie.
You see, I don't think it looks very good, but I thought it had a chance of being good. I just don't think it has a chance of doing well.
Yeah.
Just because I don't really think anybody gives a shit, but that's...
Oh, it's definitely not going to be like a great movie, but like I just thought it didn't really have a chance of even being good at this point.
What if it is great?
After this trailer.
What if it's just fucking awesome?
No fucking... Not a chance.
The new MCU. The D&D universe.
The D&D.
All right, that's it. For Chris, Ken, Jack, Gooch, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m. Thank you.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.